Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And he is alive and well. And praise the Lord that we have an almighty God who is very much aware of everything that's taken place on planet Earth. And he has a purpose and a plan for it. And so praise God for the music, the message in music. What a blessing that is. And so I appreciate all that are able to come in just to, for us to be able to have regular services, to be able to live stream to all of our families that are at home and watching by way of live stream. And so thank the Lord for those that are able to come in to do that. And we just thank God for it. Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81. And we're going to be reading the whole psalm. It's 16 verses, verse 1 down to verse 16. Psalms chapter 81. And so let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." I want to take you back to verse 10 when he says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and again, we thank you for the word of God that you have preserved for us, that we might know the mind of an almighty creator God. Thank you for the opportunity to hear it preached and taught. I pray now that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Those here may be seated. What a great psalm. I love Psalm chapter 81. The psalmist writes of Israel and gives us somewhat a history of Israel. In the first four verses, it's Israel looking to God. In verse 1 it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength." They're looking to him for his strength. "Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Then verse 5 through 7, he writes of how God blessed Israel. If you look in verse 7, he says, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah," Selah. And so we find that God, as they looked to him, God blessed them. And then verses 8 through 11, the psalmist writes of how Israel turned to strange gods, turned away from the God of Israel. In verse 9, it says, "There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god." That's what they knew that to be his command. And then down in verse 11, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, God." And then ultimately, verses 12 through 16, he writes of the sad results. Verse 12, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." No doubt this could be said for even believers in this 21st century today that possibly had looked to Jesus Christ and received him as Lord, understanding God's will for their life, and then they turned away from him. I believe the message that this psalm has, what it had for Israel then, and I think it's the message that God has for us today, is found in verse 10. We find a command and a promise. "Open thy mouth wide." That's God's command. That's what God would have for all of his children to do. And then he has a promise. "And I will fill it." Every time I read this chapter, and especially every time I read this verse, I picture in my mind a bird's nest. Now think about it. A bird's nest, and we've all seen different videos of a bird's nest full of little baby birds. And when the mama bird arrives, I'm telling you what, there is nothing but beaks and mouths wide open. And as much noise as these little baby birds can make, they're going to make. And as I vision, picture in my mind this bird's nest with all these little baby birds, all you can see is mouths wide open, and all you can hear is whatever noise they can make. They're making that noise, trying to be louder than the little bird next to them, to be able to get the attention of their mama bird, for they know that she's bringing something to them. Why do they do this? Why do these little baby birds open their mouths wide and make all the noise that they can make? I believe as we look to this psalm, it's what God would have us to do for the same reasons. I believe we can learn from that picture in our minds of all these little baby birds with their mouths wide open and making noise so that they can be fed. Because that's the first motive for it. They realize they have a need to be fed. Baby birds instinctively know that their survival, if they're going to live beyond that nest, is dependent upon opening their mouths wide. As born-again believers today, we must believe that we have a need for God. We have a need for God and for what God has to offer. Those baby birds know that that mama bird has something to offer them that if they receive it, is going to sustain their life. It's going to be able to give them the nutrition they need to grow and to eventually be able to fly out of that nest. We must believe that we have a need for God and for what God has to offer. First of all, in this life. We have a need for God in this life to have a relationship with our almighty creator God. Can you imagine not having that in our time of need? Can you imagine not having God there to look to when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death? When we're facing certain things, the trials of life? As a born-again believer, I can't imagine not being able to have a relationship with God so that I can turn to Him for what I have need of. Strength. Without spiritual strength, it's hard for me to have any kind of mental strength. Without having spiritual strength, it's hard for me to control my emotions. Sometimes we go through even some of what we're going through now, and we just, if we are left to ourselves, we just feel like going in a corner and crying. Because we can't understand what's going on. It's so far out of the norm. When you're facing certain things, if you don't have God's strength to draw on, might not even want to get out of bed. But what a blessing it is to know if I have a relationship with God, I can draw upon His strength. In verse 1, the psalmist said, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Make a noise unto God, call upon the Lord, and realize He has something that we have need of, and it's available to us. Just open our mouths wide. He'll fill it. Hope. One of the greatest things that we have in this life is hope. We're going to go through struggles. We're going to go through certain trials. We're going to deal with certain things. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to face the valley of the shadow of death. But the difference between us and somebody that does not have a relationship with God is this idea of hope. We might have sorrows, but we do not sorrow without hope. And can I tell you, hope is what we need in times of sorrow. The hope that God gives us, the hope is based upon what we have to look forward to understand that there is a heaven and there is a God and there is help available to us and that God is in control. The hope to know that there's an end, that this too shall pass, whatever it might be. But we have that. It's what God offers to us. I need God to be able to receive what God has to offer. It's a need. Provisions. No doubt even today some are worried about being able to provide. The government can only do so much. But can I tell you, God can do all things. Don't let those things worry you. Don't spend your time in worry over your provisions. Understand that God does understand what's going on and He knows where you're at. And if you have a relationship with God, can I tell you that He will provide? Praise the Lord for that. Protections from our adversary. Who knows what Satan is able to do? He is a prince of the power of the air. He's the enemy. He brings suffering. He's here to steal and to kill and destroy. But if you have God to look to, we have protection from our adversary. Can I tell you that open thy mouth wide is simply prayer? Prayer is first based upon a sense of need. I love John R. Rice and his definition of prayer is simply asking and receiving. That's exactly what the psalmist is writing here. If we ask, if we but open our mouths wide, I will fill it. The book of Revelation in chapter 3, and we find God given to us the churches and the messages that he had to all the churches. And the very last church, I believe, would correspond with the end of times, of the church age, what would be taking place in the end of the church age. And we find here, it's the Laodicean age church. It's a church filled with apostasy. And what he says to this church in chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. A need to survive is what drives us to open our mouths wide and cry unto God. Understanding it's first of all a need for God and what God has to offer. We can't lose sight of our need for God and what God has to offer. The more the world wants to give you things and the more the world wants to offer us things, we cannot lose sight of the most important relationship we have is with God and what God has to offer. The Bible reveals the Laodicean age church had a problem with this because they said, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked without God. That's what he's telling. If you lose your sense of need for God, this is what you are without God. With God, you have all of that. He has it for us. I don't know. Could be that the coronavirus might be exactly what we need today to open our eyes to our need for God. Who knows what kind of viruses that are going to come that it's going to be even more deadly in the future. Who would have ever been able to foresee what's taken place and how it's impacted the church and communities and people around the world? Maybe the world needs to get back to a belief in God and see their need in God and want what God has to offer. So we need God in this life. But we also must believe that we need God for life beyond this. Or if you will, our access into heaven. We need God for access into heaven. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus presenting this truth to humanity, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not only do we need a relationship with God in this life for whatever we have to face, but we must have a relationship with God to be able to have access into a place of heaven. A place where there'll be no more viruses. A place where there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. And we're looking forward to that in God's will and in God's timing. But you have to have a relationship with God and you have to see the need for that relationship to have access into heaven. If we go back into our text this morning in Psalms in chapter 81, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. As I think back to a bird's nest and those little birds, those birds will keep their mouths open wide even after they get what they needed. They might have needed only one worm to sustain life. That mama bird might have had enough to put one worm in each one of those mouths of those little baby birds. But even though, and I've watched it, I've seen how the mother bird will regurgitate and she'll put that food in there. And once she puts the food in there, she'll go to another one. That bird doesn't close its mouth. That bird doesn't say, all right, Nate, that's all I need. That's all right. You can go ahead and give it to my neighbor here, my sibling. No, I don't need any more. That's okay, because I don't need any more. You can stop feeding me. I'm good. That's not what that bird says. I don't believe that's what God would have us to do. I believe that God will fill it. God will give us what we have need of. But I believe we ought to be able to go farther than that. A desire for more will keep our mouths open. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a desire for more than what I have need of with God. Now, when there is a limit of supply, let's use a little wisdom here, and let's use a little compassion, and let's not try to get it all for ourselves so that nobody else can have any. Let's not panic to that degree, no matter what's taking place. But when you have an unlimited resource, it's all right if you have an unlimited resource, not only to cry to God and open your mouth up wide for God to give you what you have need of, but can I tell you that the Bible reveals to us that we can keep our mouths open for a desire for more. To have a desire for more of what God has for us is not wrong. Matter of fact, in verse 13, this is what the Bible says. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. They would have continued to look to God and kept their mouths open. He says he should have fed them also, not only with what they have need, but also with the finest of the wheat. They don't need the finest of the wheat to survive. But he said, I would have given them the finest of the wheat. That is beyond what they had need of. It would actually give them what they had desires for. And not only that, he says, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them. Satisfied even their desires. The psalmist would write in Psalms 37 and verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I think it's good that we develop godly desires. As we develop godly desires, we'll keep our mouths open for not only what we have need of, but what we have a desire for. Let me ask you, do we need dessert? Now some would say, I need dessert. Now wait a minute. No. Dessert's an extra. Let's look at what we have need of. Let's put the meat on the table, and maybe a vegetable on the table, and maybe some kind of a dairy on the table, whatever they say that we have need to have a healthy body. Put that on the table and say, yeah, that's what you have need of. But can I tell you that what a blessing it is that when we go beyond what we have need of and indulge in some dessert. The dessert is not a need. But I enjoy it as a desire. Yeah. Now, what's important is that we don't confuse a desire with being a need. I think when we understand it's a desire, we need to acknowledge that. God, thank you for what you have provided that I needed. But God, if it be a possibility in order to meet a desire, would you do this? Would you do that? What a blessing it is to know that God even wants to bless us with our desires, if they are the right kind of desires. Because the mama bird knows when to cut it off. The mama bird knows what they have need of to survive. Even though the baby bird might continue to keep their mouths open, God knows. We need to know. Nothing wrong. If God says He wants to give us the desires of our heart, nothing wrong with asking for the desires of our heart. Keeping our mouths open. And lastly, this morning, He says, open thy mouth wide. Wide. The wider you can open your mouth, the bigger the piece. Let me close this morning with saying this. Do not be afraid to ask God for great things. Understand what we have need of, and we need to ask God for our needs. Understand that we can even ask for desires. Just understand that it is a desire and not necessarily a need. But I think we can go beyond that. God would even have us from time to time to ask for great things. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 would say this, call unto me. God was speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. God can even go beyond our understanding and what He is able to do. A great example of this, and we'll close with this, but Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, this Canaanite woman came to Jesus because she had a need for her daughter to be healed. In verse 27, the Bible says, and she said to Jesus, truth, Lord, because Jesus was testing her and saying that He was coming for the nation of Israel. Yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. He had used this word dogs in correlation with the lost. And He came, and He first of all came to the Jews. Now He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He would make that known for sure, but in this particular Bible story, she comes to Him and He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. And then she reveals that the crumbs, compared to what God could do, is all she was looking for. Compared to what God could do, She's just looking for some crumbs because she understands who he is. Wow. And he said this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She understanding she was not deserving, but understood who Jesus was. And she says, all I'm looking for is some crumbs. Understanding how great you are. And with just some crumbs, it'll bring healing to my daughter. She understood his greatness. And he said, that's great faith. If you understand God's greatness, there's times we can ask for God to do some great things. Needs? Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Once we have needs met, I think we can keep our mouths open wide. For he's looking to give us the desires of our heart. And even after that, we can continue to keep our mouths open wide to God. And we'll see God do some great things. This morning, I want to get you to understand something. No one has ever been saved without opening their mouth to God. For the mouth confession is made. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning you have to first of all realize your need. You have need of a Savior. So that you can have a relationship with God to ask for other things. But first of all, if you can't go back to a point in time in your life when you realize that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and somehow, some way, God revealed to you that Jesus Christ came to give us life. And all you have to do is believe in him and put your faith in him and call upon the name of the Lord. You can be saved. That's a need that you have for salvation. Once you have received salvation, then you can have that relationship with God here and in heaven. And you can start looking even to ask for God to give you some desires. And ultimately, even looking to God to do some great things. If you've never trusted in him as your Savior, I would encourage you today, right there beside your television, right there beside your iPad, whatever it might be, or even in this auditorium, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, do it now. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We love you. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for this psalm and the words of this psalm that just speaks to us to open our mouths wide. It's a command. It's what you would have us to do. And then trust in you answering because you promised that you would fill it. Bless in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.